And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 778. Going to recap your week 21 fab, take a look at some of the remaining schedules on tap, and much, much more. But before we get to that, you can follow me on Twitter at BDentric and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Ben Tid, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing better now that we're recording, Bubba. Just went over some golfing woes with you, but other than that, it's I'm looking forward to the night, and the Yankees are doing well, which is surprising because that's I can't say that too often lately. And yeah, and you mentioned the rest of schedule stuff, so it's kind of looking towards the end game here. Only got six more fabs left, right? I think.
Yeah, I think so. There's 27, so it should only be six fabs to go. So the end game is quickly approaching, to your point. So we'll get to that. Hopefully the Yankees' vaunted traded bullpen shows up tonight, and you'll be good to go there. Get your Bednar, who we'll talk about later. We'll talk about it later because I know you picked up a few shares this week. So we'll chat about that and see where it goes. Hopefully they don't take him out of a save chance at the last minute once again. Just like, was it last night or the night? Whatever it
was. No, recently. I was mad at Jazz last night because I literally messaged the guild. I go, okay, it's 5-2. I just need them to go 1-2-3 in the eighth, and then Bednar gets the save. And, of course, Jazz hits a solo homer, like, first pitch of the eighth inning off of Erasmo Ramirez after we mentioned him, I think, last week or something. It was, of all the people to be in the game, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But Bednar had, like, two Ks. No one got on. So it was a clean ninth, and I think that's a good sign for him to stay there going forward.
I agree. It looks like it's his role because Duvall is a volatile human being and a pitcher, not to mention Devin Williams is wasteland right about now. So it looks like it's the David Bednar world that the Yankees are living in. Let's get to a little bit of news before we talk about rest of season schedule outlooks and some week 21 fab. Josh Hader, big blow for the stretch run here. Like the last few weeks, we've discussed a lot of closers that have been picked up via the trade deadline, via some other situations. Ben, feels like most of them are gone now. Let's just put it that way. And now, like, if you never wanted this Josh Hader injury, but if it happened like 2 weeks ago, you had options. Let's put it that way. Now those options are dwindling. Josh Hader to the IL with a shoulder strain. We still don't know the severity of the information. The Astros are so great at letting us know these things, let alone diagnosing it properly. So who knows what takes place on that. You got to imagine it's at least a month because they want him for the postseason. They don't care about our fantasy leagues. What are you doing in this situation?
Yeah, I'd have to get some more details on the actual timeline. Yeah, I just pulled up Reliever Recon. They haven't updated their bullpen chart yet, but yeah, strain isn't good. So I don't know if it's like a muscular strain or something more structural than that. And that could be a big difference. But like we'll go over our drops later. I had Michael Soroka in a couple fab leagues and I dropped him right away. Yep. I imagine that Brian Abreu is available in most leagues, maybe some AL only. He might be rostered already, but if you have Josh Hader, I would just try to get Abreu at whatever cost, because he probably will be available. He'll probably be the closer while Hader's out, or if Hader's done for the year, maybe Abreu is the closer for the rest of the year. I think the only thing though that I heard in passing in the last couple of days on podcasts is the Astros bullpen's kind of lefty heavy, but I don't know if they would just actually have a lefty be the closer for that reason. I think Abreu's kind of earned the right to be the closer. So I would gamble that he'll get the saves going forward. And if we find out more, well, like I said, well, yeah, I don't know if I'd actually drop Hader right away, but because they are competing, they'll be in the playoffs. So I would try to get a little bit more information before I actually drop Josh, but Abreu's definitely the ad.
Yeah, here's a good chance by the end of the week we'll have the information we need to drop Josh Hader, would be my assumption. Because let's just put it this way. Here's a scenario. So there's 6 weeks of fab left, as you mentioned. Let's say it's a month. It's 4 of the 6 weeks. Are you holding him for that?
No.
Okay.
What's he going to get? Maybe one save in those last 2 weeks?
Exactly.
It's not a given. So.
And I think between them competing for the West and a postseason, not to mention, I just hear shoulder. You mentioned Soroka. I did with Bautista earlier. Bautista just had season-ending surgery. I hear shoulder this time of year, that no one's getting rushed back. So yeah. It just feels like it's a slow process. And we say, Hader, thanks for an amazing season. You go get your Abreu shares. If you want to take some deep league shots on like a Sosa or a De Los Santos, they got some work last night. Sosa has got 4 saves, which is crazy. I know it was a 1-out save last night, but he snuck in 4 saves. So there's a window where this world could take place in your deeper leagues. But your main option, to your point, is Brian Abreu until we hear otherwise. Couple of little tidbits, because most of the news right now is actually positive news, Ben. Most of its guys are rehabbing. Most guys are coming back soon. We just kind of work around that as it happens. Chase Burns, we found out on Monday. We don't know the details, of course, but he's going to have an innings limit. Tito Francona did not say how they're going to do this. Is it going to be just shorter outings? Is it going to be like, hey, let's skip a start? Like, it feels like it's going to be a Garrett Crochet type situation. If you're a Chase Burns manager, how are you approaching this? Because the strikeouts are great. Ratios have been suspect, but a shorter sample could hurt this.
It definitely could. I do not have Chase Burns on any team, so I can't say what my strategy exactly would be. But if you're going to compare it to Crochet last year, I did actually add Crochet in a main event just for his ratios and Ks. If you're in a position where you're leading wins or there's a gap between you and the next couple teams behind you, a pretty significant gap, or if it's a bunch of wins, then maybe it's going to be more of have an impact going forward for your team in the next couple of weeks. But if you're kind of out on the island in the standings, then maybe it's not as important. But, and if Burns does do the Crochet thing, or if I feel like that's like the logical way. Cause I mean, they can't really they could skip him, I guess, for a week, but you're burning a roster spot by doing that. So I don't know if that would make sense to do so. I'm trying to look at his minor league innings totals, and it's not going to load.
And while you do that, skipping him might be weird because Cincinnati is actually closing in on a potential wild card spot, which is wild to think about, right?
It is wild. Actually, no, it did load because he hasn't been a pro really yet. He has 66 innings this year total, or that's in the minors. No, that's total. Yeah, 66 total-ish. We need a plan really to know exactly how to approach it. A plan on from the red side of things, but he could have value, Burns, if he is in a Crochet type role from last year. But I wouldn't drop him, I don't think, even though it's kind of been a little bit of a rocky road so far with the ratios with Burns. I know the Ks have been really good.
Yeah, four straight starts, not counting the Bristol rainout, with 10 Ks. It's pretty good.
Oh yeah, that's very hard to come by, and the one was only one run in six innings, so. Yeah, I'd hold them. Just keep your expectations in check with possibly no more wins going forward from him.
And the bright side is we should get an idea. He's scheduled, I think, to pitch Friday for Cincinnati. That has not been scratched just yet. So I think we might have at least get a preview of what's to come with the burn situation. And to your point, Crochet was quite valuable. We found ways for this works. What would be perfect is if they use an opener before him, which would be like the perfect storm, but I don't plan on that happening. Just a couple notes here. We had nothing to comment on this. Shane McClanahan, Felix Bautista, Grayson Rodriguez, and Zach Eflin have all had season-ending surgery within the last 48 hours. So just keep that in mind going forward, especially if you're drafting in 8 days. Something to think about. Just throwing that one out there. Frankie Montas heads to the bullpen. We're awaiting a AAA call-up from the Mets, Ben. So something to keep in mind there. And that's about it. Like I said, most of it's positive news. Guys are rehabbing. Guys are coming back. Like Acuna and Riley could come back this couple days. There's a lot of moving parts that are on the positive side of things.
It's a rare thing.
It is, especially this time of the year. Let's talk. Let's get into the rest of the season schedule. You put together your awesome sheet as you have. I believe last year was the first year we did this
exercise. Yeah, I think I made this last year, I think.
Yeah. And it comes in quite handy, especially for discussion topics, not to mention just looking at things. So if you want to kind of give the listeners an idea of what we are looking at so we can explain to them what we're seeing later on.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do it hopefully really quickly. So there's three main components that make up this rest of schedule or rest of season strength of schedule sheet that we have here. The first are team WRC pluses over the last 30 days, and the time frame I had used when I made it was July 12th through August 10th. So we were supposed to record yesterday. Stuff happened. So it's just shifted by a day. That's looking at the team stats. And then I have the schedule import, which I took off of Fangraphs, going through the end of the season. But then I have the probables per RotoWire, and that only goes 4 weeks out. So it was 4 weeks starting yesterday, Monday the 11th. So it would have been a clean 4 weeks going from yesterday looking out. And even at the end, there's some of the spots say like undecided, or I forget how RotoWire terms it, but it's not a complete estimation of all the starters going forward. But it's basically looking out the next 4 weeks going from Monday the 11th, essentially. And all it really does is it, so it takes all the matchups, looks at the teams that each pitcher is lined up to face, and it brings back the opponent WRC plus based on the handedness. And we also have a team look. So you could just say in general, okay, for example, the Indians have the best opponent WRC, the Cleveland Stars, excuse me, had the best opponent WRC plus overall over the next 25 games, which is, happens to be 93.7. And then of course there's variation between righties and lefties. As we've said it, you and Ryan have said it a ton in general over the last 4 weeks or so, or last month, I think it was 30 days, a 95.3 WRC plus first lefties for the majors. And that's versus a like 105.2 versus righties. So about a 10-point difference in WRC plus between handedness. And you made a very astute observation before we recorded that you have to get through several lefties before you get the second best righty WRC plus. So I don't, like, this could be a thing for next year in drafts. Maybe if you're between a couple pitchers and one's a lefty, one's a righty, maybe you go with the lefty. But but for now, that's another story. But going forward now, we're going to try to, I think, highlight some of the more interesting names. We already kind of pointed out some that are, have very good matchups going forward. And of course, as the weeks go on and we get farther out, the teams that they're facing would potentially heat, they could potentially heat up. They could get worse too. But just something to keep in mind. And I wouldn't go too crazy yet with the streamers. That we, well, we have six more fab periods left, but I think this is more important in September. But if you're kind of desperate now, you've been hit hard by injuries and maybe you kind of want to pay attention to this. It's also good for those fringe players, I think, where you're considering dropping someone. Like I'll just point out now, Matthew Liberatore has a very good schedule and he was on the chopping block, I think, for a while because he had some pretty short outings and wasn't doing the best, but now he's got a pretty good schedule coming up. So maybe you want to hold on to him. So there's things like that.
Yeah. And most of these guys are going to discuss, most, not all, are more the streaming variety. Most are chopping block topics, as you mentioned. We'll get to some of those here and let's just go into it right out the gate. So we're going to talk about it from a player matchup perspective on the pitching side of things. As Ben mentioned, you can go team by team and see which teams have the better matchups, so on and so forth. But we'll start on the lefty side of things. It really made me chuckle that the top guy with five starts coming up in the next 4 weeks is Mitchell Parker. when it comes to WRC plus, like we joked about that because of DCs and whatnot, he's a 76.3 WRC plus on average from his opponents. The Marlins have been bad. The Rays have been bad. And that's in Washington, that Rays game. And the Royals have been bad versus lefties, but he does get the Phillies twice. So you, who are actually 94.7, close to league average to what you mentioned earlier. So it's one of those where you might feel like starting Mitchell Parker for a couple games and sitting for a couple. So that's something that stood out to me. I don't know if you have anything on Mitchell Parker per se, but I wanted to use that as an example before we really get chugging along.
Yeah, he had been someone I was kind of trying to bench in my DCs, but and if I don't, maybe if I have a reliever, I'll probably start them over him. But like, well, right off the bat, this week was a two-start week. It was versus the Royals and the Phillies. And I think it's the Phillies again in 22. But I think weeks 23, 24, so 2 weeks out, that's when he gets the Rays and then the Marlins. So I don't know if I would add him just yet. You've already missed out on the first week, but I would probably wait a week and then maybe add him for the Rays and the Marlins potentially. But he's been getting killed so much that it's a very scary start, even though the matchups are good.
Here's one that has been tilting fantasy players for quite some time. Jesus Luzardo's next on the board. He's the third, or technically the second. We're crossing off Wisden Hunt because he's in the minor leagues now. Luzardo is the second. He gets Atlanta, which is very good versus lefties, surprisingly, as they've been so bad. Seattle's been pretty good, but then the final three starts all on the road, at Miami, at the Mets, at the Nationals. We are going to get suckered into starting him for those, Ben, and we are all going to be tilting in the Discord. I can already feel it now.
Yeah, he's considering injuries, he's going to be a staple in my main event, I think, and it's going to be a bumpy ride. I mean, I survived the two-start last week, so maybe things are going to turn for the better, but he's so volatile. And so this week was at Washington. Then he's got the Mariners. But the Braves is actually 3 weeks out, or it's week 23. That's August 31st is the projected start for him. And maybe by then they've cooled down. So, and this is the way the lineup's been in general. I probably wouldn't be too scared about starting Luzardo in that start. And he's also going to be home there, but Philly is a kind of a hitter's park, but Luzardo can shut them down. And who knows who will be playing at that point either. So I think Lizardo, this is good for him to finish strong, I think, because I know I definitely need him to finish strong for me. Yes.
You and me both. I'm just going to kind of hit on the streamer guys. Like Joey Cantillo ranks out very well. Opponents are WRC plus 81.2. Again, he's got an Atlanta matchup. He's got an Arizona matchup, but some very fit. It's Tampa twice, who has been horrible versus lefties. You mentioned Matthew Liberatore, so let's just hit on that. Opponent WRC plus of 84. He gets the A's, who are crushing left-handed pitching. But then it's Colorado, Cincinnati, and Great American. But Miami and Tampa Bay have been a popular name on this list. So that's something just to keep in mind in general. Maybe look to target Miami and Tampa Bay down the stretch. You mentioned Liberatore early on. Is this getting you back to keeping Liberatore and likely starting Matthew Liberatore?
I think I have him in one Fab League. I can't remember. I may have at one point. I do have him in a DC, and I did start him this week for the Rocky start. I think the Rocky start was actually this week. I'm going to double check that right now. Yep, he was home versus the Rockies. Then, well, at Tampa Bay could be an issue, but that's August 24th. And even the A start, though, start will be at home, because if he was in Sacramento for that, I would probably sit him there. So at least he would be home for that. And I wanted to pull up his underlying stats. So I reran it today. He has a 0 K minus walk over the last 3 weeks. He has a 4.3% swing strike rate. XFIP and CR of almost 6 for Liberatore. His Z contact's almost 96%.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
He's been so bad. Yeah, but so in a Fab League, I'd probably wait and see if – I'd probably want him to turn it around a little bit. But like I said, in my DC, I had to start him because it was the Rockies on the road. So hopefully it doesn't kill me. But I think they were kind of babying him for a point, right, where they were kind of short – either they skipped him or something, or they were shorting his outings, right?
He had an injury scare. And since then, it's not been great. So I wonder if it's really a scare or not.
Yeah, maybe he's actually injured. So maybe he doesn't even make these starts. Who knows? But if he kind of shows some good signs versus the Rockies, maybe you consider him for the next few starts.
Mackenzie Gore is directly behind Matthew Liberatore at 84.4 average WRC+. Mackenzie Gore looks great against the Giants because, well, the Giants can't hit lefties. He gets Miami again. I've said that name a few times. Gets the Mets struggling. Then it's Philadelphia and the Cubbies, and then the Yankees. Like, honestly, after the Mets start, I don't feel great about Mackenzie Gore.
No, there's some pretty good teams in there that may have just been cold lately. But I mean, Gore had, 10 Ks in 6 innings his last start or something like that?
Against the Giants, yes.
Okay, well, we'll caveat that. But yeah, I mean, as a great bounce back. But this is really the Mets and the Marlins have been so bad. The Mets could turn it around though very easily. The order goes Phillies, Mets, Yankees, Marlins, Cubs. So I know he was scooped in the main event score pretty right away when he was dropped by a handful of managers. So he's probably I don't know how he is in 12s. Maybe there's been some drops there as well. So it's a tricky start. I trust him less than Luzardo, I would say, probably.
Yes, 100%.
The Philly start is scary. That's this week. So you probably already had to decide on, unless you're in a daily league, maybe you have some time left, but in a weekly league, he's already in or out, but maybe you start him versus the Mets at home and see what happens. See how the Yankees are doing. I think the Yankees could, well, if he's pitching well, Gore, then he could shut them down, but with Stanton and Judge in the lineup again, that could be a bad matchup for him, especially in New York.
My biggest takeaway from that is, like, yes, I want that the Marlins and Mets starts. Then I might just be dropping him for his final three starts of the year. Might not even be bothering with it. Is what that'll come down to for Mackenzie Gore.
And then the Marlins are two step with the Cubs at the end. But that's what it's projected for right now. So you can't even get the one.
Outstanding. That's even better. I'm gonna skip Chris Sale because if he's active, you're starting him. It's very simple. Logan Allen is a name's guy. Two step this week. I picked him up because it was a pretty decent looking matchup. He's coming up his next five after that. He's got the Braves, Marlins, Seattle, Boston, Texas. Miami, Boston, Texas is the one you're really focused on there. Now Boston might, get going at any point in time, but Texas has not. Miami has not. So there's some good matchups for Allen. He's not a world beater, not a massive strikeout guy. But if we're talking like a deep league stream or even a DC, to your point, I think you're going to be starting him more than you're not.
Definitely, especially with all the injuries to pitching right now. I think he's been universally rostered, Allen, in the main event just because of the – I think he's had decent matchups here and there the last few weeks, and it's going to continue, looks like, going into the next 4 weeks. Actually, he has the Marlins tonight, and then he gets the Braves at the end of the week. So he has a two-step week this week. And then, yeah, the Texas start does – well, in theory, the Texas start doesn't really scare me, but when it's Logan Allen, it's a little scarier maybe. Yeah, Seattle. So I guess like this was probably the week to start him and then see how it goes and maybe consider him at Texas. And then Seattle is always scary. They're about average versus lefties, and the Red Sox are – well, they've been platooning a lot, so I'm surprised they've been doing so poorly versus lefties. But they could easily – it's also in Fenway, which is scary, so I'd probably try to avoid that one if that sticks around the schedule.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That Fenway one doesn't they went through a massive slump, but they were crushing it for a while there. And now Bregman's back in company. So wait and see how that one pans out. David Peterson's on the list. Eric Lauer is right there against us. Trevor Rogers. Nasty Nestor Cortez, who makes his second start of the year against the Giants. Our second coming off the IL with the Padres. Anybody else on the lefty side of things that really stands out to you before maybe we poke at some righties over here?
Ryan's boy Kyle Freeland's there, 97.6.
He can keep him. That's almost league average, so we're good.
They have Lodolo coming back relatively soon, at least, which is a good sign. They have the three starts.
Freeland's worst three matchups on this list right here are all on the road too, which is hilarious.
That is very funny. Yeah, so it's kind of like a mirage of it would fool you. Yeah, at least so the other one that I'm kind of impartial to is I'm partial to is Minaya. He had a rough two step, but he's got the Phillies, Mariners, Braves again, Reds and Tigers. First time seeing the Tigers on here. A lot of Phillies, Reds and Mariners and Mets and Marlins to the commenters points, but that's why all these guys are at the top because their opponents have been the worst. So you're going to see a lot of repetition with these teams, these matchups.
All right, let's skip to the right-handed hitting side of the spectrum here. Chase Dolander's at the top, but I'm just going to ignore that even exists. Slade Ciccone, which I think is nice because he's been kind of an up-and-down, volatile conversation. To be fair, you said league average, I think, is like around 105 versus right-handed pitching. He's a 93, so it's still below average, but he's facing some pretty decent and okay teams, I'd say. But Dustin May. Everyone knows my thoughts on Dustin May, Ben. Dustin May is technically the third on this list. He gets Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Houston, Yankees, all are below league average. I still don't trust it.
No, I see how bad May's been pitching because that'll probably deter you from even trying to start him. Actually, not that terrible. 3.6 Sierra, 4.16 XFIP, but the swing strikes below 9%. The Z contact's above 90%. Hard hit against is 52 almost. Not really walking anybody, but when he's getting hit, he's getting lit up pretty hard. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too excited about starting May. Now that he's on the Red Sox, he's home versus the Orioles, home versus the Guardians. Pirates don't scare me, but then he's in Houston and at New York, so I'd probably avoid him if I could.
Yep, with you there. Christian Javier just made his first start. Let's wait and see on that one. But this looks interesting. Jack Perkins is near the top here. Opponents WRC plus of 95.3, Ben. We're looking at teams like Detroit, get those Angels twice, which could get even worse maybe as the season goes along. You got the Twins, and then in St. Louis to wrap things up there. This is a good sign for what we'll talk about later in the show, most likely, of a widely rostered Jack Perkins.
Yeah, and majority of the starts are on the road, so that's good, three of the five. He has a really great swing strike rate, Perkins, over the last 3 weeks, 14.4%, only a 23% K rate to go with that. So he's got a little unlucky with the Ks. His left on base rate's really low too, only 47%. So has been pretty unlucky with allowing base runners to score. Yeah. So the home starts are the Tigers and the Angels. I would, it depends on how they line up though, exactly in the weeks. Let me see how the weeks like. I want to see what the two step week is. The two start weeks actually on the road in week 24 at the Cardinals, at the Angels. That's a smash play for sure. And yeah, so you mentioned the Twins. They actually have the best WRC plus versus righties, but their lineup's pretty decimated right now from the trade. So I wouldn't be too scared about that. And it's on the road in Minnesota. Yeah, so I think if you got Perkins, it's probably a pretty decent stretch of playing him over the next 4 weeks.
Yep, that stands out in a big way. Another, we got a Houston thing. They got Javier, they got Arrigetti, they got Hunter Brown. It's because you get Boston, the Angels, Baltimore, Detroit, Texas. Like, they're not world beaters. They're not bottom feeders either, but they check the boxes there. Other than that, Ben, it's you got some Giants on the board here because they're going to face Baltimore, the Cubs, Padres, St. Louis. Again, okay. It's a rough go. Zach Gallen, does that do it? Miles Mikolas is here. This is not the most attractive side. Like, the lefties, I can make conversations for. The right-handed pitchers, it's a little rough.
Yeah, because the lefties we were talking about were like in the 80s and low 90s. These guys are getting close to 100, so league average, and it's
flip a coin.
Even though they're the early ones on the list, it's the matchups aren't comparable to in terms of how the opponents are doing versus their handedness. So, yeah, even though there are a lot of widely available pitchers and 12 teamers for sure, they're not that good at pitchers, and then the matchups aren't even that good, even though they're the better of the right-handed ones. So I would tread cautiously. Like I said, I wouldn't try to go too crazy with the streaming, at least of the righties for now, but I think the lefties are, there's a lot more reward, I think, with taking like a, even with, I don't want to say Mitchell Parker, but the 76 WRC plus is pretty bad. And he's shown flashes in the past, but it's definitely scary still trying to go that route with the 6 weeks left, but maybe three weeks left. It's a little different.
Definitely. Like, you got to pick and choose. You're looking for dollar ads, such, so on and so forth. Like, these guys stand out a lot more in those scenarios. Or if you're fighting for DCs, as you were mentioning earlier, like, these can maybe make or break some decisions. So I'll put it that way when you're looking at things here. A quick glance at just, I'm going to look at the team lookup page just to get a peek at it. You have overall WRC plus, you have versus righties, versus lefties for the team. And this can also kind of help you out because it shows like Cleveland's got a 93.7 average opponent WRC plus pitching wise. The lefties against them, it's 80, righties 100.7. So you're just looking at different matchups, I guess, to stream and go from there. It shows the teams that we're looking to attack. The Rays pitching, again, let's pick on the Rays. Rays pitching's horrible. That's the way I'm going to look at it. I don't know if you want to hit on any of these teams. Like, it's Cleveland, but it's Houston, A's, Cardinals, Boston. The Nats are high. That stood out to me for a team that's scuffling offensively right now.
Yeah. Well, this is the perspective of their pitchers. So the Cleveland pitchers have the best matchups. So Cleveland pitchers have the best matchups. Okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Houston has that's why we saw all those Houston righties. And then this is why Mitchell Parker's here, because the Nationals have the weakest, second weakest versus lefties. Yeah, the Guardians were 80 WRC plus. As a whole, the Nationals are 81.3. So long story short, if you're just trying to go by teams, to Bubba's point, you'd be looking for their pitchers. You go by the Guardians pitchers, the Astros, the A's, the Cardinals, the Red Sox, the Nationals. They're all overall below 100 WRC plus over the next 4 weeks.
So I guess on the flip side is if you have Pittsburgh pitchers, they have the worst one here, and you might want to avoid them, or you could go other angles, but like Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Cincinnati, Cubs, Texas, those are your worst pitchers on this board as they have some of the tougher matchups coming up in the weeks ahead.
Yes, for sure. And even though the Rockies are kind of near the better half, most of their starts are at home. So, and all the pitchers are terrible anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
Yeah, exactly. There's always more to every story when you look at something like the White Sox pitching's not great. So yeah, they're good on the list too. So, but I guess like maybe
that could be for Shane Smith.
It's good for Shane Smith. We saw Lizardo on the list here. But like Baltimore, like in the chat, they mentioned Dean Kramer. We've talked about Dean on this show before. Like, pitched great again today. It's up and down with him. You and I both have plenty of DC shares of Dean Kramer. Baltimore's kind of a middle of the, like, maybe like middle of the pack, top third rest of the way here, because they got Boston, Houston, Dodgers, Seattle. Like, it's not ideal, but the two Bostons aren't bad. They get Houston twice. You wrap up against the Giants, which could be amazing by the time things are all said and done. So there is some love to be had in that one too.
For sure.
All right. Anything else you'd like to look at here? Because this is something we're going to kind of poke at each and every week as we keep going down the stretch here. And it'll get tighter and tighter and become even more of a streaming tool, I think, as we hit the final weeks here.
Yeah, nothing else to say for now. It'll be interesting to see how the names change when we look at it next.
Yep, most definitely. All right, let's get to it. Your week 21 Fab review. For those that keep track at home, it's the we talk about the NFBC OC 12-team leagues. We'll also peek at the 15s. There was a lot of movement. There's three players over 140 ads in the OCs, and then it was 82 and below. Giancarlo Stanton just went to the moon, so that's good. We'll start with a Yankee at the top, Ben. Luis Eel was picked up in 150 leagues, as high as 106, as low as a dollar. Luis returned from the IL recently. I've never been the biggest Luis Eel fan, but he went 5 1/3, allowed 2 runs, and struck out 7 Astros in his last start, which is very, very impressive. He was gone in your leagues, your main events and everything. But if Luis, what's your outlook on Luis Eel, I guess, especially being a Yankees fan?
He actually was only he was actually available in 3 of them because he wasn't drafted in a handful. He wasn't drafted in any of my main events. Go figure. But I did have bids in for Heel. Going into the draft, though, I was very low on him compared to his ADP. And I think he had a 12% walk rate last year. I think Heel really had like 1 or 2 good months, and then he kind of wasn't that good to finish the year. So if you had added Heel and then dropped him before, say, like June or July, you would have made out a lot better than had you just kept him for the entire year. But still, he was good enough to win the Rookie of the Year because of how good he was to start. And I think that was driven by the walks. So I was looking at his year-to-date stats so far, and 5 walks and 8 2/3, very small sample size, but he did at least cut this walks down in start number 2 because he had 4 in the opening start versus the Marlins, and then against the Astros, he only had 1 walk versus 7 strikeouts. So that looked much better. And it makes sense that Heel is the most added pitcher in the OCs because of how many pitchers have been lost so far at this point in the year. And Heel has that upside of being a stud like he showed last year if the walks are in check. And the Yankees need him to be in the rotation, so his spot's pretty safe. Him going almost 6 innings in start number 2 is pretty promising as well for him being able to go deep in the games. One thing that's weird, though, is he is a fly ball pitcher, so the ERA could be kind of in risk, especially if the walks are there. If you get a couple guys out through a walk, then a homer, then there's 3 runs right off the bat. But he has the upside to chase, so I'm on board with the ad. I'm surprised someone had $106 to spend on him, but definitely worth going for right now.
I assumed he was rather gone in your formats, but Luis Eel was picked up in 55 main events. For as high as 85 and as low as 5. So he was widely available in the main event streets, which was quite surprising to me. But I guess
the injury happened before they started.
Yep, when you're on the IL, it kind of affects that situation. Cade Cavalli was picked up in 149 OCs, as high as 112, as low as $1. He was picked up in 57 main events, as high as 61, as low as $4. Cavalli's made 2 starts this season. His recent 5 innings, 4 earned with 3 Ks. I was not nearly as excited as everybody else on Cade Cavalli. Like, I get it. There's prospect hype. The guy throws gas. There's a lot of concerns I have as well, so I wasn't too invested in this pickup. What are your thoughts on Cade Cavalli, who, you know, could have a high, high ceiling, but that floor seems could be very, very ugly as well?
It could. Yeah, on top of being added to the player pool, he also had the Royals and the Phillies for a 2-start week. I wouldn't have necessarily – well, I did have bids in for Cavalli, but they were very cheap. I think the most I went was – $8 or $4. It was very cheap. And I didn't get him anywhere because of that. He was kind of limited, I guess is the best word to say, in his first 2 starts, but he's had a ton of injuries the last couple of years. So Cavalli went 4 1/3, 5 innings in the second start, the 3 walks and 3 Ks in against the Royals yesterday actually wasn't that good. So you didn't even see that before you added him. So this is an after the fact type deal. 10 base runners in 5 innings. So not a good start to the week, especially now that that was supposed to be the easier of the two. And I'm sure he was widely started wherever he was added because seeing the 2-start week. So it's probably going to be a pretty ugly 2-start. I don't think it's going to be as bad as Easton Lucas, but you never know. Yeah. I heard that name recently and it reminded me. I think that was a good comparison.
It's a great comparison.
So he has the prospect pedigree Cavalli. It's just that he's barely pitched in the majors. So you're kind of just hoping he's literally just like one of those rookie ads, and but he's coming off injury on top of it. So I wouldn't be too optimistic, but there's some strikeout upside, I think. It's just a lot of risk tied to it.
Yep, I'm with you there. There's a ton of risk. It could turn out great, but be prepared for the inevitable. And I also don't think they're going to fully unleash him either, because this is kind of like, get some innings in. We want you for 2026 to see where things go. Next up's Phil Maton, picked up in 143 leagues, as high as $75, as low as a buck. When it comes to the main event, Phil Maton was picked up in 15 leagues, as high as 70, as low as 5. Maton picked up the win on Monday, picked up a save and a hold in his 5 appearances with Texas, has allowed 1 run while striking out 4. He's been great this year. He has 21 holds, 3 saves on the season, over 43 innings of 52 strikeouts. I was pumping him up as a guy to get heavily if you needed saves this weekend. Where were you at on Phil Maton? Because Robert Garcia is not good, and it seems like it should be the Phil Maton show.
I had the foresight to actually add Maton the week before the trade deadline for $3.
Well done.
Yeah, and that was in the good main. So I finally started him this week.
And you probably did that hoping they'd trade Helsley, not trade Maton as well.
Right. So when he got traded, I was like, oh, no, I'm going to be dropping him. And then I decided to hold on just because of, I think Garcia had a bad start before that Sunday or a bad outing. So I'm like, okay, I'll keep it, see what happens. And now, yeah, he's in my lineup now this week, Maton. So I fully sign off on this. I hope that it actually sticks and he stays as the closer. Yes, it feels like one of the last potential, well, now that we have the Astros situation, but it feels like, at least in the OCs, I'm sure Maton was wild. I was actually surprised, too, that the mains didn't have him added everywhere. I thought he would have been added before this past Sunday. But it makes sense to see 143 ads, and I think Garcia pitching in like the 5th or the 6th, whatever it was, really, I think, moved the needle for adding Maton. And hopefully,
yeah, the Rangers have no reason to use Garcia right now in the ninth. There's zero reason to do that whatsoever. So this was a no-brainer for me. Obviously, things can change in this ever-revolving landscape called closing, but it seemed like a big one to go here, especially if you don't have David Bednar available for you. Bednar was picked up in 82 OCs, as high as 250, as low as a dollar. Was not available in my 2 OCs. He was picked up in 20 main events, as high as 133, as low as 24. Bednar has looked really good with the Yankees outside of that first outing where he got 2 runs. 4 straight outings without an earned run. He has 10 strikeouts over basically 5 1/3 innings. He's got a win. He's got a save. He's looked really good for your boys, Ben, and you are a Bednar fan now. So tell me, how'd it go for you?
Yeah, I'm a fan in more than one way. I do have him on a main event team, so we'll talk that in my ads. I felt pretty confident when I think Williams pitched the 6th inning or something, 5th or the 6th on Sunday. And he did well, but I think Boone has finally had it with Williams. I've seen plenty of memes about how much Boone loves Williams for whatever reason. And Bednar, also too with Bednar, I think they have him for another year at least, the Yankees. So it makes sense to have him be the closer now if he's doing well, because Williams will be a free agent and he'll probably be gone next year. And then so have Bednar be the closer to finish the year. He'll be the closer presumably next year in 2026, and then to worry about later than that when they need to. So I think, I don't know if we were recording, but you mentioned Duvall isn't really an option. He's a good setup guy. He's got some control issues, Duvall, but Bednar's looked great. It was funny because I remember I didn't have him anywhere on any teams until now, Bednar. And I remember how he started off poorly, but his numbers are so good despite how much hate he was getting at the start of the year.
He went to AAA at one point, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I knew it was bad, but he has like a sub-3 ERA, a whip that's maybe 110, if that, and he's got a ton of Ks. So he's had a really good year, and I think last night was a good sign because the Yankees had a 3-run lead going into the 8th. They scored a 4th run, and I think they had Bednar warming up for the top of the 9th, and he just pitched anyway, and he looked good, and that's definitely a closer spot. So they're up by 4 right now, the Yankees. Maybe if they allow a run or two, we'll see Bednar tonight, hopefully. But yeah, I think I'm hoping and I'm thinking that he's good for the rest of the year.
You should be, barring something ridiculous from Aaron Boone, which, hey, I want to tell you, very possible with that man. So he's no Dave Roberts, but he's getting close these days, getting very close to that Dave
Roberts. And bullpen management is not a strong suit at all.
No, it's not. Not at all. Blake Perkins. This was good to see some of the OC people woke up on this one. 80 added an 82 leagues, as high as 35, as low as a dollar. Blake Perkins should have been widely rostered. Yeah, he's picked up in five main events, as high as 37, as low as three. Perkins, since coming off the IL on July 18th, hitting 262, three homers, three steals, has scored 16 runs. He's just a staple in that lineup for the Brewers, and they've been awesome. So you want a piece of that action. Really good fifth outfielder. Probably more of a 15-team league play, Ben, but I do see the 12-team appeal down the stretch run here with, like, I dropped Cam Smith this week. We'll talk about him. He's been horrendous the last, like, month and a half, 2 months. So these Perkins is an upgrade on that, and there's many other options in that same conversation.
Yeah, at least the last 2 weeks have been very 12-team worthy because he's finally playing full-time. He had 19 at-bats week 19. Last week he had 24 at-bats. In week 19, he had 8 runs, 2 homers, 4 RBIs, no steals, but then he had a steal and a homer last week with 5 runs to go with it. And believe it or not, Perkins had 23 steals last year and 383 at-bats. So the speed's definitely there. The average may not be the best. He was 217 in 2023, 240 in 2024, but he's up to 262 right now. So the K rate may be a little high, but it's not terrible, I don't think. So 3 homers, 3 steals so far in only 4 weeks, not even 4 full weeks in the majors. And his playing time is safe as long as Churio is out. And I wasn't in on Perkins because I didn't really need outfield help in a ton of spots, but if I did, I definitely would have had bids for him.
No doubt about it. Luke Kuechel, this was a no-brainer. Picked up in 80 leagues as high as 191, as low as a dollar, so wherever he was left available, essentially. He was picked up in one main event for $57 because he was pretty much rostered everywhere. Since coming off the IL on August 5th, Kuechel hitting 400 with 2 home runs, 10 RBIs, not stealing bases, surprisingly, because he's done that well. Only an 8% K rate. He's been awesome even before he got hurt. Hasn't had a hit yet in the Bronx over a game and a half, which is hilarious after everyone picked him up in FAB. But this is a great one. Should get second base eligibility this week, so he's not util only. One of the easier submit, but it's probably the hardest part was how much to spend was the question for Luke Kuechel.
Probably, yeah. I did add him before he came back and the good main event. So I played him, I think, last week, or I waited to play him till because he sat the first game of last week, I believe, which was annoying, of course, when he was activated. He didn't play on Monday or Tuesday. But yeah, to your point, Kuechel has 7 starts at second. I don't know. Is he playing second tonight?
I did not see. I can tell you in a minute.
I can look on. I haven't been paying attention to the game that much. But either way, he needs 3 more starts before tonight. And no, he's playing second tonight, so this is his 8th game.
There you go.
So if he starts 2 more times Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have him for Friday at second base, assuming that he starts at second the next 2 nights. So that'd be huge. I really need a second base eligibility for him. And yeah, you mentioned he hasn't really stolen yet, but it's only been like a week roughly. And he had 2 homers and among his 10 hits. And I think he attempted a steal pretty early back. So I don't think that's going to be an issue with Kuechel going forward. I mean, if he stops hitting homers, he'll be more likely to steal. But I think he'll be a great source of average and speed. And that's exactly why I added him. So hopefully he comes through.
Yep, I agree completely. Michael McGreevy. Now we're getting to some fun names, Ben. Michael McGreevy picked up in 79 leagues, as high as 22, as low as a dollar. When it comes to main events, picked up in 5 leagues, as high as 34, as low as $5. McGreevy's coming off of 6 shutout innings with 3 strikeouts versus the Cubs. He gets the Road Rockies this week, which probably had a lot to do with this. We're talking late season streams. And then McGreevy faces the Marlins in Miami next week. So when we're talking those matchups, if you go back and look at that rest of season grid, Michael McGreevy, I actually remember seeing his name at some point. There's Mikolas there. McGreevy's not on that board. But a couple good starts coming up if you're looking for streams. That's the only thing I can wrap my head around here, Ben.
Yeah, so I did pull up the file again. And despite the team sounding good, the numbers aren't the best. So his opponent, WRC Plus versus righties, McGreevy is an average of 106. So actually worse than league average over the last 30 days. But it's the Rockies at Miami, Pittsburgh at Cincinnati versus San Francisco. So on the surface, I would say most of those are starts if you're trying to stream him. But then over the last 3 weeks, McGreevy has a 7.6 swinging strike rate, a 6.6 K minus walk percentage, a Sierra of 5, XFIP of almost 5. Really not that good. And the walk rate's been good, but the Ks just aren't there at all for him. And I think I have him on that same end of, or the same DC where I played Liberatore versus the Rockies, just because it's a DC, so I was rolling with it. But at this point in the year, like I kind of said with, I forget who it was before, but maybe Heal. This is that so many injuries, and you kind of need just someone with any sort of upside. And I liked McGreevy going into the season as a rookie. He didn't really, hasn't really come through yet, but it's mainly because of the lack of Ks. And these teams could lead to some Ks, the Rockies, Marlins, Pirates, and Reds, and Giants. So I think it's worth the gamble. I think it's more of a 15-team gamble than a 12-team gamble, but it could still pay off. And but I don't know. It's not a slam dunk, I don't think, but I get why he was added.
And at least the highest bid was only 22, so it wasn't crazy compared to some other people we've seen. So you can live with that. Cody Clemens was picked up in 78 leagues, as high as 69, as low as a dollar. I like Clemens. He's not lighting the world on fire. It's more of a he's hitting in the middle of the lineup every day for the Twins. I know the Twins faced a ton of righties this week, which made him a streaming appeal on that one. But it's like they got Schittler, Morton, Mize, Paddock as in four of the next five. So you're looking at that Detroit setup potentially with him. And then next week, the Twins for now have four righties in six games. So that's the only thing I see with Clemens. Anything else you'd like to add to Cody Clemens, who, again, not a world beater?
No, I was going to say I was surprised that he's been playing. Then I remembered that the Twins traded like all their starters.
You don't have anybody. Sense.
Yeah, someone's got to play. Yeah, he's had his moments, Clemens. Let me look at his stats. Well, the average is 219. So, yeah, it's been rough lately. Well, actually, that hasn't been terrible. I don't know. He was hotter earlier in the summer. I think we talked about him once before. He had like six homers in 4 weeks, Clemens. But yeah, the average is bad, but the Ks aren't. I think it's a BABIP issue, it looks like, looking at his weekly logs with the Ks and the at bats. So I guess you just hope that he gets some good luck with the BABIP and he doesn't hit 219 anymore. But yeah, be careful with that, I think, going because you don't want to tank your average in the last 6 weeks if you don't have to.
Yep, I completely agree. That could be a massive blow to the squad down the stretch. Keegan Aiken picked up in 76 leagues, as high as 51, as low as a dollar. In main events, Aiken was picked up in 12 leagues, as high as 40, as low as 2. Aiken appears to be the closer in Baltimore, but that is a rough situation right now, Ben.
Yeah, he got the save on Friday the 8th, then he blew the save on Sunday the 10th. But Roster Resource thinks that he's the closer. Closer Monkey or Lever Recon has him in the platoon. So, or a committee, I should say. I have him in a DC, so I'm playing him there. I got lucky there. But, yeah, and the Orioles aren't the best team, so how many saves are you going to get? It's definitely one of those desperation ads. If you're fighting in saves, he'd definitely be the one out of the Orioles bullpen that I would add. And I think he'll – even though he's a lefty, I think he'll get the most of the chances going forward.
Here's a name that I actually put bids in on this week, and to the shock of many, is Chris Paddock. Picked up in 75 OCs, as high as 41, as low as a dollar. In the main events, Chris Paddock was fully rostered, so you don't have to worry about that one. Chris Paddock is now a member of the Detroit Tigers, so he's keeping track at home. He had a two-step this week at the White Sox, at Minnesota, two teams you don't mind picking on, especially when you look at that grid. He threw 5 2/3, one run, one walk, 4 Ks against Chicago on Monday, so that's a plus, Ben. He'd also come off of three straight starts where he had not walked a batter while striking out 13. Paddock has been sneaky, not bad, but the overall numbers aren't great, if that makes sense. This was a matchup two-step play for sure when it comes to Chris Paddock. Anything else? Were you interested in him? Where available outside of your main events?
No, even earlier in the year when he was available, I wanted nothing to do with Paddock. I don't think he's very good anymore. Yeah, despite having White Sox, Twins, Royals, White Sox, they average a 109 WRC plus lately. So even the White Sox are crushing righties, go figure. They're not a team to stream against really right now. Yeah, and I pulled up Paddock's last 3 weeks or so. Yeah, to your point about the walks, only 1.3% walk rate over the last 3 weeks for him, but a swinging strike rate of 8.4%. A lot of hard contact, so I think he's gotten Yeah, and the one thing too is his BABIP's been 211 with an 87.7 left on base percentage. So he's been very lucky. Some of the luck's been earned with the walks, but the batted ball data or the batted ball results have definitely gone in Paddock's favor. So I think this happened once before. He was on a really hot run, and then people added him, and then he got crushed. So I think this could be the exact same thing all over again. So this tread caution. Yeah, he had like the Cubs killed him. The Rockies killed him. Actually, no, before that, it was the Astros game on June 13th because he had a pretty good stretch of allowing one or two runs or zero runs. And then he gave up 9 versus the Astros, 4 versus the Reds, 5 versus the Mariners. So, yeah, I wouldn't really trust Paddock. But the matchups look good on paper. I don't know if they're actually that good because of how the teams have been hitting. So I would just tread cautiously with him.
Oh, I will be dropping him after this two-step. Do not worry about that.
Okay.
There will not be a love. This is strictly business deal we have going on right now. And he'll be back on the waiver wire.
Transactional relationship.
At about 7 p.m. Pacific time, he'll be hitting the waiver wire on Sunday night. So
for KC Bubba's teams.
Yes, not a concern at all. Yeah. This is one that at least 73 people were, well, 73 teams, because it might be multiple people, made me very happy on this one. Blaze Alexander of the Arizona Diamondbacks has picked up as high as 27, as low as a dollar. In main events, Blaze was picked up in 39 leagues, as high as $32, as low as a buck. Since August 1st, basically since he took over the starting third base role with Eugenio Suarez out of town, Blaze is hitting 371 with 3 homers. He's hit safely in all but one game. He had a home run in his first at-bat on Tuesday, Ben. Oh, and the Diamondbacks have 4 in Colorado to end the week. This was one of my favorite targets the entire week, and so far, so very good.
Yeah, so hopefully I hear his name a lot when we go over our ads for you.
I think I have 6 fab leagues. At least half of them should have Blaze on them.
Very nice. Yeah, he had so 2 homers already this week, and then you mentioned the Coors series to cap it off. And it's 4 games in Coors. It's not like it's 4 in Texas, 3 in Coors. It's 4 in Coors versus now the famous Mookie Blaylock.
Mookie Blaylock, exactly. Well done.
Whichever Gordon it is, it's not Tom Gordon. No, Chase Lander. And I mean, they might be better off with Tom Gordon pitching and then Kyle Freeland. So, yeah, it could be a lot of runs, RBIs, and homers for Blaze. But yeah, so the only thing that was kind of in doubt was if Lawler was going to take his spot from him. But Blaze has been in there, like you said, every day since the trades that happened with Suarez getting dealt. And yeah, this was a, and on top of the matchups and the playing time, he's eligible at second, third, and short. So who couldn't use that right now?
Yep. He's a little bit of everything. Hard to take him out of the lineup when he's hitting this way. Not to mention that Lawler's just rehabbing. I'd like to see that guy get healthy before we get too excited on this one right now. A couple others. I'll do some quick hitters here for you. Like we talked about Logan Allen on the schedule deal. He picked up in 71 leagues, as high as 36, as low as a buck. Had the two-step. Jose Ferrer, the Nats said he is their closer for whatever that's worth to you. Ferrer was picked up in 69 leagues, as high as 72, as low as a buck. Any Jose Ferrer love? We talked about him, I think, last week when we kind of ranked all our closers.
Yeah, I think I got him in 2 spots. I'm surprised that he wasn't added in more OCs after last week, or during last week's fab run. Yeah, but I think everyone.
My guess is he was like 5th or 6th on everybody's list, and he's kind of fell through the cracks.
I could see that.
Ryan Mountcastle was picked up in 57 leagues, as high as 44, as low as a dollar. Honestly, kind of surprised there wasn't more. No one should have held him in an OC, so that'll probably get picked up even more this week because he's playing DH pretty much every day for the Orioles, and he provides tons of power. I want to ask you about Hurston Waldrop, picked up in 53 leagues, as high as 125, as low as a dollar. I was kind of hesitant on this because I'm like, okay, where is he going to slide into the rotation? He's got a couple starts as part of doubleheaders where you get the extra pitcher bin. But on Tuesday, so one of the benefits of doing this a day late, the Braves said they're going to run a 6-man rotation as long as the pitchers are healthy. So now you're obviously that limits your 2-step potential, but that probably keeps Waldrop in the rotation for the rest of the season at the same time. So what are your thoughts on Hurston Waldrop now?
I think he's rosterable.
Waldrop.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is pathetic. It's Strider, Carrasco, Elder, Waldrop, Fetty, Wentz.
And Strider just got absolutely destroyed by the Mets tonight.
That's not like good destroyed. For my home league. Why do I have this? Well, if they're trying to preserve Strider and Elder and Waldrop, maybe that it makes sense to go six man, but why do you need Carlos Carrasco or Joey Wentz?
Because some teams need, you know, pitching, pinch hitting and, you know, practice, I guess.
Maybe they just want to tank for a better draft pick or something. I don't know.
That's about it. That's all they got going for them right now.
Yeah, but going back to Waldrop, I have him on two DCs, and I think I started him finally because I think I missed out the first two starts because I didn't realize he was going to be pitching. I think because either he was like a doubleheader guy or they just had him stick around. But very good so far. Granted, it was the Reds and the Marlins. The one start was in Cincinnati at least. But Waldrop has 10 Ks and just below 12 innings, only three walks. Got two wins so far. Yeah, he looks like a pretty good ad, and he actually is available in one of my leagues still, so I'll look at that going into Fab next week. But, yeah, it's a good ad. It's probably one of the better ones we've talked about pitcher-wise, honestly. Yep. think he's better than Cavalli. He's better than – well, right now better than McGreevy, it looks like. Better. I trust him more than Paddock. So, yeah, I think it's a good ad.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go check my leagues to see if he's available at all because that could be a nice – now that the six-man rotation problem is everyone else is going to do this as well. But, yeah, for what's remaining on the wire, could be very, very nice. Jacob Marcy picked up in 51 leagues, as high as 134, as low as $2. I got a few shares this week coming off a monster week last week. It's not that I didn't like him. He was just lower on my list of options. He is batting average guy. Tons of speed. Kind of feels like a Chandler Simpson. I don't want to say light, but kind of in that realm of Chandler Simpson. Any thoughts on Marcy, who should have been widely rostered in the 15s?
I'm just annoyed because I was scared of the average, and he gets five steals last week when I could have used five steals last week. But the BABIP's been really high for him, as evident by his 419 average. So. It's not a question of if he's going to run or not because he already has five steals and 31 at-bats or however many games that is, probably 14 games, not even 10. Because he came up late last week, so it's like 10 games he has five steals already for Marcy. And it may not be enough time for him to actually hurt your average because there's only 6 weeks left, but I think over a longer period of time, it's pretty likely. But maybe that's a mistake made by me where I was thinking more of the profile and not the gamble that he could exceed expectations in a short period of time, but he's going to play for the Marlins, it seems like, and he's going to run, and I'm a little upset that I didn't get him, but maybe he cools down. Who knows? It's not like a given that he's going to keep doing well, Marcy. It's just that so far, so good.
Yep. I'm with you there. And the last guy I'll mention because Anthony asked about him in the chat was Isaac Collins, picked up in 50 leagues, as high as $72, as low as $1. Collins is actually not an underdog as much as he used to be. Like he's almost like Drake Baldwin's still the favorite to win the NL Rookie of the Year, but Collins is now not plus money. It's my point. He's minus 105. He was actually the National League Player of the Week this past week after being the Rookie of the Month in July. Dude's hitting 297, 8 homers, 13 steals. He's been awesome. He's going to be gone this weekend as on paternity leave. So keep that in mind if you picked up Isaac Collins for your weekend series. But do you have any thoughts on Collins? Because I will mention his name a few times in my ads this week.
Oh, well, thanks for that heads up because I have him in the good main, Collins. Yeah, he's the better version of Blake Perkins. So
yep,
it's funny how similar all their players are, it feels like.
That's why I love the Brewers. They're just a team. Like they all just kind of play together as a team instead of having – they have a couple studs, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, they're just like gelling. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, well, Collins is going to come back with dad strength. I can't wait to see what he does.
It's going to be terrifying for the rest of the NL Central.
Yeah, I'm all for it, though. If he can have some dad strength level production for my fantasy team, I'm all for it. Yeah, hey, he's going to cool down because he's hit over the last four full weeks. He's hit 417, 333 twice, and then 476, Collins. So he's going to cool down a little bit, I hope. But he's running almost a steal per week. He's got some power. And he's batting like second or third now for the Brewers. So he's going to get a lot of plate appearances. And he walks. His year-to-date on base is almost 400. His slugging is 460 almost. Looks pretty legit. hopefully I remember to draft him next year.
Yep. I'll let you know in 8 days where he goes in a draft.
Bubba, fifth round Isaac Collins.
I don't know if he goes in the first 11 rounds, but he's making a case for it. Let's put it that way. He's making a case for a top 11 round DC.
Hopefully he's not Tyler Fitzgerald.
Yeah. Let's pray to God he won't be that guy. All right, Ben.
Look good at the time.
Yeah, it looked real good at the time. So did my Royce Lewis pick and probably about seven more in the first 11 rounds. Let's recap our ads of the week. Whenever you are ready, feel free to fire them off.
All right, let me get to the page real quick. All right, New Jersey Main added Nick Martinez, dropped J.P. Sears 6-3, and then I added Darrell Hernandez, dropped Giant DeLuca 3-2. Main event number two for me. This is the dollar one. They're all for a dollar, no backups. Added Liberator, the aforementioned. I dropped J.P. Sears. Added Edgar Caro, dropped Adrian Del Castillo. That's quite the add in the drop. But I want to catch it too, who plays. And, of course, Castillo hit the homer, but I don't know if it's going to stick. I added Blaze for a dollar, dropped Chase Mydroth. I added Sean Burke, dropped Ryan Gusto. And then I added Mitchell Parker, dropped Simeon Woods Richardson. So a few names that we've talked about tonight already. Main event three. So this is the big ad of the week you alluded to. This was the main that's competing for the overall, hopefully. I added Bednar, and then you got to love it. I dropped Will Vest, who got a save yesterday. I was like, I hate
But that was because of a rain delay. It was Finnegan in to get that save. So,
okay.
It's not, yes, but let's not get too crazy at the same time.
Yeah, it's just it's just funny how that works, though, because when Finnegan had three saves last week, and then, or two or three, it's just like, okay, he's the closer. It's just annoying that Hinch literally lied saying that Finnegan wasn't going to get saves and he gets the first two or three. It's like, come on, man. Why? You're not fooling the other team. They're going to see that Finnegan's coming in. I mean, I don't get the point of it. But the bid was 98-67. I just wanted to make sure that I got Bednar because losing Vest and not being sure that Matan would be a good closer too. I wanted to try to get someone who seemed like they had the role. So now I'm going to roll with three closers. This is more of an overall play where I could use some, I can gain some points and save. So got Bednar there. And then my other ad was Shane Smith dropping Michael Soroka 4-0. And then lastly, the listener league, two ads here. I had Jameson Taillon, who should be back this week, drop Soroka 6-2. And then I got Tyler Locklear unopposed, dropping Tyro Estrada 3-0. And what a wasted year from Tyro. I was in on him in DCs. Stings. I added him in FAB when he came back. Well, he gets hit in the hand so often, it feels like. Terrible.
Such a team-friendly deal for the Rockies. Like, I'm like, oh, he made a smart move, it feels like, and then he just can't stay healthy. So that was a gut punch for sure. My first OC, I got JJ Bladé, dropped Logan Henderson 4-1. Bladé's been playing a ton, and he has a full week in Sacramento, so I took my chance there. Logan Henderson, they're hoping to have back by the end of September or early October, was the report on Tuesday. So if you somehow held on to that, just please move on. You should have moved on.
He's already not coming back.
Yeah. My Beat Bubba OC, I picked up Jack Perkins, dropped Joey Cantillo, who's got a great option, so I might be picking him back up, 8-2. Picked up Will Warren, dropped Patrick Corbin 7-2. I love seeing Warren on the wire there. That was an easy one for me. Picked up Dylan Dingler, dropped Victor Caratini, who's losing playing time now in Houston, 6-0. Picked up Blaze, dropped Jake Berger 6-1. A lot of chat on Sunday in the Discord about Berger. I kept telling people, I said, hey, it's going to be a platoon. Berger faced the two lefties, and then he was off versus the righties, and people said, well, it was an off day, you know, maybe just because he just came back. And I said, okay, that's fine. Then he was out on Monday. He's out on Tuesday now, too. The Rangers faced five righties this week, so I'm like, I'm not even going to play the game. I love Berger. This just feels like – and they mentioned it. They kept Rowdy up for a reason. So I just kind of read the writing on the wall. Maybe things change, but for now, and especially in a 12, Berger, not going to cut it. I picked up J.J. Bleday, dropped Cole Sands 4-3. So four moves in that – or five moves in that league. One of my 12-team standalones, picked up Jacob Marcy, dropped Logan Henderson 36-21, picked up Luke Kuechel, dropped Tanner Bibee 27-12. Some might just hear the name and be like, what are you doing? Well, if that means you don't roster Tanner Bibee is what that tells me. Dude's got a 4.6 ERA on the season. He's allowed four and runs in three straight starts. He's allowed 4-3, then 3-2, 4-5, 2-5. It's just been dreadful. It's the nicest way I can put it. He's a stream at best right now, at best. So Tanner Bibee gone for me. In the Vegas 12-team standalone that we did for Bubba and the Bloom, picked up Jacob Marcy, dropped Kumar Rocker 34-23. Picked up Hunter Gaddis, dropped Cole Sands 17-4. I wanted Phil Maton, got outbid by a dollar on that one. Yay. And I picked up Blaze Alexander, dropped Cole Reagans 11-0. Reagans threw a bullpen on Tuesday, threw 15 pitches. Woo! So I'd be shocked if he comes back for more than one or two starts this year at all. So Blaze got another share of Blaze, picked up Logan Allen, dropped Logan Henderson 4-0. And then the 15s, Bubba the Bloom Listener Auction League. Picked up Jack Perkins, dropped Cole Reagans 23-17. That felt good. Picked up Blaze Alexander, dropped Johnny DeLuca 11-2. That's three Blaze shares in five. Picked up Blake Perkins, dropped Cam Smith 9-8. I mentioned the Cam Smith comment earlier. That was one of those, like, he was turning into a Gene Segura for me because he was nearly a drop at one point. Then he started playing really well, Ben. But if you just want to go, I was looking at different periods, like, oh, is it just a slow, bad streak? No, let's go back to July 1st. He's hitting 217 with zero home runs and one stolen base. That is crushing teams. So that was an easy drop once I started digging in on that. And then I picked up, yeah, so that was the Blake Perkins move. And then my last one, my Olak, who are trying to hang on for some fun here. Picked up Phil Maton, dropped Eduardo Rodriguez 34-22. Picked up Ryan Mountcastle, dropped Nathan Lucas 12-1. Lucas will be off and on because they do face a lot of righties coming up. Picked up JJ LeDay, dropped Jake Berger 12-6, and picked up Chris Paddock, dropped Tanner Bibee 8-7. And Chris Paddock will be back on the waiver wire even in the 15 after this week. So there you go. I had, like I said, three Blaze shares and six lineups. And so I was invested in Mr. Blaze Alexander. So far, so good. Wish I had him in 6 of 6. All right, enough of me. We have a listener question, Ben, from our buddy Joe G. Joe G says, Harvey, Darvish, and Zebby, which two in a 12-team roto, caper nine and wins needed? Thank you. Javier, Darvish, Zebby. Zebby for sure. That's the easy one. Mm-hmm. Now, I know my answer. What do you like between Javier and Darvish?
I think Yu's been pretty rough lately. I haven't,
yes, he has.
Yeah, he has. Well, the whip hasn't been terrible, actually. It's a 1.18 whip. He had a good last start versus your Giants. He shut down the Mets. Oh, man, he's been really hot or cold. He's actually pitched better in general over the last three starts, you. Let me look at Javier's first start.
Javier made one start, and the numbers are great, but I don't know. He's averaging almost 90, I think it's like 93.5 on his fastball, which is not great, but not bad.
I don't think he ever threw that hard, though, to begin with. No, I remember looking at Javier in prior draft seasons, and I was like, well, he gets keys, but he doesn't really throw that hard.
I'd be out on Javier personally.
So you would actually keep Darvish over Javier?
Yeah, and I don't love Darvish, but in that scenario, I'd take Darvish.
Yeah, it's a tough toss up. But then he also mentioned Arrigetti could be a drop too.
I'd take Arrigetti.
You would hold on to the upside of Arrigetti?
I take the upside over. I think we know who you is. Let's put it that way.
You know who you is. Well, Arrigetti's been really bad though.
Hey, he's only making his second start tonight.
Yes, as he came back. Oh man, I mean, I'm not a big fan of any of the options, if I'm being honest.
Well, it's a 12 team league. I'd hope there's other guys out there. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Is Hurston Waldrop available?
Honestly, yeah. Go for Waldrop, Zebby Waldrop, and Arrigetti, maybe.
Yeah, it's a tough group. That's for sure.
I was actually surprised when I saw the names for the 12 teams.
It's sometimes there's a tough streets out there. Is the best way I put it. So you never know. But all right, Ben, we'll wrap it up there. Another episode in the books. You mentioned six more weeks of Fab to go. We'll have a rest of season schedule outlooks. We'll keep playing with that as rosters change. Because like I just mentioned, there's a 6-man rotation coming up. That's going to skew the whole Braves thing, and like so on and so forth as we keep going through the motions here. But any final thoughts, Ben?
Nope. Just keep grinding. You're going to get some wonky player starting pretty soon here as other guys get shut down or put on the IL with legit injuries. Even like I missed Waldrop kind of throughout the last couple of starts until it was too late. But just pay attention to box scores if you can. Try to hold off football prep as long as possible. I mean, I'm trying to listen to podcasts, but still 100% baseball. So it's And I know people in the Discord were saying they're kind of getting mentally exhausted from the FAB. I'm not quite there yet. I think maybe because I'm competing for an overall. I'm trying to inch up the overall rankings. Yeah, it helps a lot. So not everyone is as fortunate to be in that position. So I know I'm in a unique position. But just keep grinding, even if you're trying to win a league. It'll be worth it.
Yeah, it's a unique position Ben's in almost every season. So, yes, very unique position.
Love is being generous there.
I know, and I'm just giving you your flowers too. But, yeah, I know it's a shameless plug, but our Discord, if there's tons of news in there. It keeps you guys updated, a good conversation, yes. Help each other out throughout the day. I check that out, check out the articles, all that stuff. So it's only $7 a month, folks. It'll help you. If you are kind of drained on everything, we'll take care of most of it for you. So just come on down and check that out. But until next time, check out Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I'm at BD Intrick. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 778. Catch you all next time.